Now, the Bible reading today, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, commencing to read at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused or betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The key text that God has laid on my mind for today's little message is right there in verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. This passage of Scripture is referred to as the Annunciation of the birth of Jesus. That is the announcement that was brought to Mary by the angel Gabriel regarding the coming Messiah. And when we come to a passage like this, we are very conscious that we have come to the unusual, to the realm of the supernatural, to that which is unique, to something which has never been known to happen before. And I speak, of course, of the fact that Mary, who was a virgin girl, would become the human vehicle for the divine, eternal Son of God to enter into our world in human form. We call it the Incarnation, when God was manifest in the flesh, when he took upon himself human form and came to dwell amongst men. And whenever the angel was speaking to Mary, he said, The power of the Highest will overshadow you. And that lovely word, overshadow, is a word that's taken from the Old Testament scriptures, where the cherubims overshadowed the mercy seat, which of course represents our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm speaking of the furnishings within the Holy of Holies in Moses' tabernacle. After they had left Sinai and the tabernacle was built, the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant that was placed in the Holy of Holies was overshadowed by the cherubims. And you know, really, it's a beautiful picture of Mary's body becoming the very temple where God dwelt. And she would become like the Holy of Holies, in whom the Son of God would be conceived and would eventually be born and be the Son of Man dwelling amongst men. And of course it is impossible, humanly speaking, that such a thing should happen. So that's why these words were spoken by God, where he said, With God nothing shall be impossible. the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. That we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 27, which of course implies or infers that Luke was very impressed with this wonderful truth that there is nothing too difficult for God, that with him all things are possible. And it was a sudden intervention in history when this shining messenger stood before these individuals. And I refer, of course, to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And in verse 19, we read similar words where with authority he says, "And the angel answering said unto Zacharias, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." I'm sure you're aware, if you're a Bible student at all, that this is the same personage, Gabriel, the mighty one, standing in the presence of God, who is identified also as the one who came with messages to Daniel the prophet. And Daniel, of course, lived 500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Angels, of course, are transcendent in power and might over all human beings. And here he is, the mighty one, referred to in Daniel chapter 8 and chapter 9, who now again appears with this message to this young lady in the village and district of Nazareth. He came with a message. The recipients of the messages that came were waiting and had been with many others for hundreds of years before them. They were waiting for such a message because God had promised that such an event would happen. And they, of course, knew the Old Testament scriptures, as did their forebears, and they were hoping and watching and waiting, anticipating that sometime, somewhere, this Messiah, promised Messiah as he was, would actually come. Now the time has come. When the Apostle Paul is writing in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son." And of course, that's the fulfillment of the promises. Now, let me just speak to you for a few moments here in the context of these words. With God, nothing shall be impossible. First of all, it is impossible with God to break his promises. Did you get that? It is impossible with God to break his promises. Time and again in the scriptures, he said, "I am the God that keepeth covenant." He is the faithful God. And for 4,000 years of Old Testament history, the promise of a coming deliverer was renewed with an ever-increasing stream of information, that progressive revelation of facts and of promises and prophesies concerning this wonderful person. And because God is the God who cannot break his promises, who keeps his word, we, of course, are speaking, sharing, and enjoying everything that Jesus Christ and the living God is to his people today. In the book of Genesis, in the first book of the Bible, he is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, he is the sin offering. In the book of Numbers, he's the star out of Jacob. And in Deuteronomy, he is the prophet. When we come to Joshua, he is the captain of the Lord's host. In Judges, he is the great deliverer. And when we come to that beautiful book, the book of Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. I could go through every Old Testament book, and there is an appellation in there regarding this person, Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Micah, the minor prophet, with the major message, the man possessed with the Spirit of God, said, "But thou, Bethlehem, out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." And so there are many other promises that are given by God. And because it is impossible with God to break his promises, the day came when all these promises were fulfilled. Then it's also impossible with God to lie to his people. When Dr. Luke wrote to his friend Theophilus, he told him the truth of God's word and God's work. And he was telling it like God told him to tell it. That's why we refer to the Bible as being the inspired word of God. And the Bible also tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And all the Old Testament prophets and writers were moved by the Spirit of God, as were the New Testament writers to write that which we have today as inerrant, infallible, and inspired, as is the Word of God. So when Dr. Luke was writing to his friend, he was telling him exactly what God had told him to write. And as God told it to others, to Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary and the shepherds, now it is communicated through the pen of Dr. Luke, and we have it today in our Bibles. And all these people believed, and they experienced the reality of God's pledge, God's promises. He didn't deceive one of them. John the Baptist was referred to as one who would make ready a people. He had told them that there would be a virgin who would conceive by the Spirit of God. He would be a Savior, Jesus, who would be born. He would be a king who would one day reign. He would be a person who would have a kingdom that would never expire. Those are some of the references that I read to you a little while ago in the Bible reading. God is not a man that he should lie. It's the modernists and the liberal theologians who have deceived the people, but not the Lord. When they say we can't believe this and we can't believe that, that's of course modernism speaking. That's unbelief, because God would never deceive his people. What he says, he means, and he means what he says. And praise God, today I can plant my feet on the firm foundation of his word and know that his word shall never fail. And I'm glad today that God does not lie to his people. God says of himself, I am a God that changes not. God is not a man that he should lie. No. Why? Because he's the God of truth, infinite truth, transparent truth, clear sky blue truth. Oh, yes. And you can trust him today. Jesus said, I am the truth. And when you come to know the truth, the Bible says, you will be made free. And you can trust him implicitly. Place your life in his hands. Rest secure in his plans. Let the Lord have his way. It is impossible for God to break his promises. It is impossible for God to lie to his people. But it's also impossible for God to fail in his purpose. God had a purpose. In fact, that purpose was in place before man even fell, before our first parents sinned. And he had a purpose already in place. And that was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And whenever God saw man's transgression, he wasn't caught unawares. He wasn't taken by surprise. He knew what would happen. Now, that's different to saying that he foreordained what would happen, because God did not foreordain that man should sin, but he foreknew that man would sin. And praise God, he had already put in place a rescue package. And there hath not failed one word of all his good promises. Says the Bible, all came to pass. And to bring greater glory to his purpose, he chose an insignificant person, someone of very poor and humble parentage. He found his vessel among the despised or the lightly esteemed, and I refer to the people of Nazareth. Also, you'll notice that in the Bible reading, after the message was complete, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." And that word handmaid means the lowliest female servant. And here is a young girl, the lowliest female servant that you could find in a household. And she said, Be it unto me according to thy word. She took God at his word. And praise God today, God's purpose was going to be fulfilled. Mary knew why, but she didn't know how. She knew what God was going to do, but she didn't know how it was going to be performed. She said, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? But you know, faith ventures where reason quivers, where reason can fail. Faith prevails. And so he found his vessel again, I say, among the despised or the lightly esteemed, the people of Nazareth. The Lord didn't need wealth or human influence. He didn't need a palace, home. He took all the factors that, humanly speaking, would lead to failure, but in his hands they could not fail. Hallelujah. For with God nothing shall be impossible. It is impossible for God to break his promises. It is impossible for God to lie to his people. It is impossible for God to fail in his purpose. And that's why we're here today, because Jesus never failed. He never failed us yet. Why don't you, like Mary, trust him? Why don't you, like Mary, today, in the challenges that you're facing and maybe an impossible situation, hand it over to the Lord and look at him and watch him and hear him say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. Well, that's about the end of my little message, except to say that in Luke chapter 18, we read these words, who then can be saved? And what's the answer? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Not one person could be saved apart from the realm of the impossible wonderful in God's great salvation, power, and presence. And today, all his people are alive and in his family because he is the God of the impossible, bringing dead people to life, blind people to sight, dark people to the light. Hallelujah. And I trust him implicitly today.